stuff.
We're going to record the meeting. Always talking to this thing.
Oh, we're recording the meeting. Fantastic. Hello, cops. Live stream's here. Look at this. It's actually a meeting now. Yeah, so do we want to sing the song?
Yes.
Okay. Ready? Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Occupation makes us strong. And the solidarity clap.
Solidarity forever.
Yell solidarity. Okay.
Like we can sing, I'll sing solidarity at a lower like tone, and then somebody sings it at a higher note, and then at a higher note.
Oh, you're trying to get organized
and
on this.
And then we converge on the same note.
Right.
So I'll try.
Okay. Well, if you want to start the chorus, the choir, whatever, you go for it. But let's get back on topic. Committees, committee announcements. Do we have any committee announcements?
Hi, Zach.
Committees?
Yes.
Oh, this guy showed up.
Hi, Chris.
Okay, the parade tomorrow. I have a list of names here. It's got like 30 names on it.
We're going to have room for about 15 people in the van. We're going to want to, we have one photographer that we want to take with us, one live stream so we can record all of this, and we also have one reporter that we're taking for the OB Rag. OB Rag has helped us out, promote us quite a bit, so if I can do a favor for the OB Rag, I'm going to be happy to do that. I have to go to the finance committee today at 4. I'm going to see if we can actually get another van. We already have it reserved. We have two vans reserved. I'm looking for a driver, hint, hint, that can drive a van that I know can drive a van. And other than that, we are looking for cars, too, for everybody to get up there. So when we get up there, we do have a spot in the 44th section of the parade and part in the 99th section. The 44th section, you will be holding up a large octopus and a large 50-foot corporation constitution of the United States. So those, if you're going to be in that part, you're going to have your arms up in the air a lot. And they also have costumes for us to wear. They got bankers' pants with dollar bills sticking out and stuff. So it's going to be a fun time. I know we got 25 shirts that we're going to be giving away tomorrow for this. But if you're in that part of the parade, you'll probably be asked to wear what they're wearing because it's part of a float. Floats are all uniform, so in that sense. The 99th part of the parade, we're at the 99th spot, which is a 99% float. That will be having, you can wear your attire of the Occupy San Diego, Occupy Oakland, Occupy Seattle, Occupy Vegas. There's 12 Occupy groups so far that have been committed to coming to this. So it's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a place where we can all go and meet other Occupy members. Really social area. After the parade, they want to take the octopus and they want to put it up in front of City Hall for a while. I've graciously volunteered us to do that also because they need 40 people to do that. They're going to be happy that we're going to help. They have my phone number. We're going to take whoever wants to go and do it, do it. We're going to have a good time.
Are they talking about LA City Hall or
Pasadena?
Yeah. LA City Hall, I believe, yeah. Yeah, it's LA City. But so other than that, if we can get rides for cars, if somebody can drive there and has room in the car, call me, email me, Facebook me. I'm pretty easy to find nowadays, like communication-wise. I hate it. But because we do need drivers. If I don't get enough drivers that call me in like an hour and a half, then I'm going to go to the finance and see if I can get a second van and find a second driver. Because I want everybody to get there.
I'll drive.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah.
What was
the time?
I've got a class
IC. Okay, yeah. Now the times for the van, one van's going to be going up at 8:20 tomorrow night. We're going to be sleeping on a sidewalk. You're going to be having, no tents are allowed. You're going to be able to sleep on the sidewalk on the corner of Orange Grove in Colorado. That's where they want the Occupy members to be set up. It's got a TV camera on it 24/7. So we're going to be on TV a lot there. So they want the people that are there to be wearing the Occupy shirts too. That's definitely, and they want that. That's where they want people to have banners on the side of the roads. Other than that, if you're going to get up there and don't want to watch, if you want to watch the parade, get up there by 6 o'clock in the morning.
to relieve the people that saved the spot on the corner. That's why we're going up to sleep there, to make sure we have a spot on the nice parade route, so we're right up close and everything. After that, if we can get two people in the van that want to stay there for sure, and one of them has a phone number, that would be wonderful, because then anybody that comes up after can have a contact number. Makes it easier to find everybody, so we can all get in one group and watch the parade together. Have Occupy San Diego shirts everywhere, Occupy San Diego banners. For banners, they're asking, keep it uniform. Corporate greed out of American politics. Corporations are not people. They want corporations in there. They want to make sure that the world knows we are against corporations in American politics. We're not here for medical marijuana as much as a lot of us believe in that. We're not here for women's rights, which a lot of us believe in. We're here to get corporate greed out of American politics, and we do that. Everything else will work itself out. We guarantee it. We promise. Other than that, if you have any other questions, really, just email me, Facebook me, anything. If you have any other personal questions, and if you can drive somebody up, great. Thanks. Get a hold of me and help.
It's tomorrow, though, right?
It is tomorrow. Well, no, it's Monday.
But the first
the parade
van
is
leaving
on
tomorrow
night. 2nd. Start time for the parade is 8 o'clock. Parade starts at 8 o'clock. So, Monday morning. And get there early. If you're going to be participating in the parade and you're not in the van, you have to meet at Singer Park, which is about 8 blocks away from the Orange Grove spot. That's where the setup's going to be. They have like 300 t-shirts that are going to be given out, and they got 500 flags that they want people to carry. So, that's about most of the information I think I've gathered in the last 12 hours. Yeah. Any questions?
Talk to you offline.
If you need somebody, I do have a Class A CDL.
Okay. I could drive the van.
Okay. As long as I got
volunteers. All right, so we got plenty of volunteers to drive.
If you can drive a van, be here tomorrow at 8 o'clock, because that's where we're going to pick the van up.
Cisco first.
Well, I'll be here.
Get us that.
All right.
When do we find out who gets to go?
Oh, yeah. If we don't get enough money from finance to take another van, we can only take one van, we're going to have to draw names out of the hat, but we're going to keep it even, women to men. Same number, even Steven.
When will you be posting that list? I
guess I could do that after finance today about 5 o'clock. We can take. I have a list of names. If you want to be on the list and you don't think you're on the list, you need to. And we'll draw names out of the hat right here in open public. That's fine with me.
Okay.
Sounds good. Any other committee announcements?
I'm driving a medical limo today.
Well, can you announce that?
Oh, sure.
One other thing about the parade. If you are driving up and you have broom, I would suggest that everybody meets here at like 3 in the morning on Monday morning. That way, there, if you have room in a car and somebody here that doesn't have a car wants to go, they can get in.
So it's tomorrow morning or Monday morning?
Monday morning, yeah.
Medical?
So, I'm part of medical and wellness committee.
There you go. Yeah, told us. Who's the mom?
And we had our first medical sick call of the day at 10 o'clock. That went well. We helped out this gentleman here with some of his issues. And then some of the things that we kind of talked about within our committee was like certain things that we could like get for the movement, like hot cocoa, tea, things like that.
This is a microphone here. So.
Oh, good to go. And another big thing is if you could like donate lotion and socks. Socks are a big deal. You know, your feet are important. So that's all I really have to say for right now for the wellness and medical.
All right. Any other committee announcements? Going once. Going twice. Committee announcements?
So any veterans that were not at the veterans committee, we also have to come over here and talk after GA.
Okay. All right, so as far as I know, there's only one thing on the agenda. Well, I guess two things. There are two proposals from, I believe it's the San Diego Women's, in conjunction with a lot of other little affinity groups and working groups. And I'm going to actually ask Martha to come up and explain those ones. If we want to do them one at a time or both together, however you had envisioned that, that'll work.
Thank you.
What? We're recording a meeting.
Do I have to? It's a free country. You don't have to.
I usually use my hands when I talk. This is going to be very inhibiting.
Use your hand, by all means.
Thank you. Okay. Both of you know me, I'm Martha. Last week, I reported on behalf of the committee that we've been, our Get Money Out working group has been working on a couple of different fronts. One, towards clean election, and two, to looking at ways to support getting a constitutional amendment to end corporate personhood, which will help with the whole getting corporate money out of politics and government. So, on the clean elections front, as I mentioned last week, as a follow-up to the resolution that this GA consensed upon and was subsequently submitted to the City Council on December 6th, supporting clean elections for the City of San Diego, we are proposing that Occupy San Diego submit a ballot proposal to the San Diego City Council the week of January 9th as part of kind of an overall January free speech month, and in concert with a lot of other things going on. It will propose the San Diego Clean Elections Initiative, which has been developed over the last several years and is available at sdcleanelections.org. We're going to submit it for consideration on the November ballot, which has the biggest voter turnout. And the City Council will be required to consider this ballot proposal according to their own rules in June, since we're requesting that it be considered for the November ballot. So this is one of the paths that a ballot proposal an initiative can be put on the ballot. You can either gather a bunch of signatures, which in the case of the City of San Diego is about 90,000, or you can get the City Council to vote to place it on the ballot. They have their prescribed process for doing this. So, again, we're proposing to go ahead and file it with them the week of January 9th as part of our January free speech campaign month. Ask them to consider it for the November ballot, and then we'll have all spring to organize around that and mobilize public support for their hearings in June to decide whether they put it on the ballot, on the November ballot or not. So my proposal on behalf of the Women's Committee proposal to the GA is that, let me read something a little bit. We propose that we file this ballot proposal with the city clerk during the week of January 9th to the 13th as part of weekly events in Free Speech January. We will host a press conference with a prominent advocate to announce the filing of this ballot proposal and to begin building grassroots support for approval by the City Council, which will be considered in June for the November ballot.
So, where is John, my stat keeper?
John,
your stack.
Stack.
Okay, Ben's makeshift stack right now. Questions and concerns, let's just do that stack first. Anybody with questions or concerns? Okay, so we don't need to get those out of the way. Let's open a quick stack for comments and clarifications and stuff.
Yeah, this is really great. I think this is the first time, like, somebody's actually come to GA and, like, proposed that we actually do something useful, so I'm really happy about this. And I want to help, like, any way I can. So.
Yay.
Tito?
Anyone else want to be on stack?
Anybody else?
Stack right here.
All right, so,
pass that around when they go.
I didn't want to toss it.
If you can, if it's a I don't know how well it'll pick up. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. So no real questions, concerns. Let's call this to consensus. All in favor?
Can we wait?
Did I?
Wants to be on stack.
He wants to read it.
Oh, you want to read it before we call it?
The whole thing was not read out. So,
yeah. Sure.
Can you read the
whole
thing?
We'll come back to it.
Read the whole thing just real quick.
I'm not going to read the whole initiative, but I can read the whole statement.
We're voting on the whole initiative.
You want to come back to it?
All right.
Table?
No, we're not going to table. We're just going to... You have an announcement while everybody's reading?
I have another ballot to pull.
While we're... Yeah.
Martha, can you just...
Give a brief synopsis?
Yeah. Tell us how it works. In other words, how does a clean election thing work in this proposal?
The basic clean election initiative
are the...
I'm going to find my little...
Cheat sheet. First, any clean candidate must pledge that they will not accept any campaign contribution and will not spend their own money to campaign. Second, to qualify for public funding, a clean candidate must collect signatures and $5 each from 500 registered voters and deposit those funds into the Clean Election Fund. Third, a qualified clean candidate would then receive campaign funding based upon the number of residents in his or her district. Where would the money to fund clean elections come from? Clean Elections would use city funds to provide public financing of clean campaigns. The initiative strictly limits the cost of clean elections to $6 per resident per year. Voters in Maine, Arizona, Connecticut, and Albuquerque, New Mexico already have clean elections. And you can see it, you can see the initiative itself and a lot more information, all the endorsers, which include the League of Women Voters, Common Cause, Sierra Club, 10 town councils within the city of San Diego, at sdcleanelection.org.
So this thing's gone through the mill, right? I mean, this has been worked on for years.
Yeah.
It's not something that we should debate here at all. In my view, we should just adopt this thing that the other group has been working on for years and get it going.
All right, we got a point of clarification in the back.
Didn't the Supreme Court say we could do that?
I'm sorry?
She said...
The Supreme Court saying that we could do that.
The reason why this is important is that it's voluntary. It's not mandatory.
Okay.
They probably won't let it on the ballot anyway.
Well, and that's why it's really symbolic. And as this gentleman here pointed out... You know, they always tell us we don't have any concrete solution.
Here's one.
This is damn concrete. And I say we stake our flag.
Okay. Did you have time to read that a little bit, Amir?
Yeah.
Did you have concerns that developed?
The two concerns I have.
Mm-hmm.
I
need to be able to see your face.
She's
hard of hearing, so I need to be able to hear what
you say. There's two main concerns I have. Number one, the time that... This is not enough, I believe, and okay. The time.
Anybody mind if we people's mic him so everyone can hear? Any objection?
Only if he wants to.
Go ahead. I think it's quiet now.
Okay.
Right. Speak up.
The concern I have is, okay, the time we had to consider this is not enough. It's on the 31st. It's before the New Year's, and. That's one thing. The other thing is that there's... You said something about clean candidates. And I don't think that we can... First of all, other occupations have come up with statements regarding specifically not endorsing any candidates, any political party, any group that basically wants to engage or endorse political candidacy of any particular person.
And this
hold on.
But it's not to endorse candidates.
I understand that, but there's a portion on this that talks about how a candidate could be could raise money and in a clean way. That's what you said,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think it sidestepped the issue of the political structure. And I don't think it, because it doesn't consider that, I don't think we should. I disagree with the proposal, and also because of the timing. So,
can I respond? One, I announced this a week ago. We reported on behalf of the Women's Committee. It was included in the GA notes. It's been discussed in any number of venues over the last week. Two,
you know, we're not talking about filing this until January, the week of January 9th. We can talk about it some more. I honestly, you know, as to the whole political structure thing, I mean, we can wait until we can change the entire political structure, or we can start trying to clean up the one that we have now. This isn't endorsing any candidate. It's not favoring any candidate. It's saying that it's giving candidates who believe in public funding of elections the option to select that option to pay for their campaign. That's all it does. And it actually puts spending limitations on the candidates. It puts a ceiling on how much they can spend in their campaign.
Okay. So Ben was first and then you're next.
You're talking about it's voluntary. It doesn't actually require candidates to do anything.
Can't require it because what I forget your name.
The Supreme Court.
Because if it required it, it would be deemed unconstitutional under our current legal interpretation.
I see.
Okay. What is that?
I don't know.
Is that available online? I would like to be able to read it in its entirety prior to voting on it.
You're welcome to have a copy of this that I gave to him here, and you go look at it.
Is the entire proposal available?
Yes, it's online.
Okay, perfect. Then
every endorser,
I'll grab his. Who's next? I don't want this thing.
Amir is actually next.
Yeah. Just want to emphasize that by the... I understand you, but the attempt is to put a ceiling on spending and try to clean up the election like that, but the whole thing is that it doesn't bring the money in politics under question. It just puts parameters on how much can be spent. It still says it's okay to use money in politics. So, I mean, if you really want to get the money out of politics, setting a limit on it would not basically do it.
It's a clarification. It's getting corporate money out of politics and putting a cap that, like, every citizen can reasonably...
Yeah, but the money is still... That's my point. It's not getting money out of politics.
Okay. You're next.
Yeah. Okay, so the way I see this, it is a strategy. I do not love this initiative, okay? It is voluntary. It's nothing, it's not a true, deep reform that we need for the system. This is a strategy. We're going to send it to the city council. My guess is 99% the city council is going to represent the 1% and is not going to put it on the ballot. We're asking them to put this on the ballot for us. They're going to say no. Then we say, what are you afraid of? That's a strategy, right? Secondly, I've worked for years on single-payer health care, right? It's public financing of health care. I don't actually want that, but I've worked on it for 20 years. I want to nationalize the health care system. But I know that I need to use that as a strategy in order to try to educate people and move the process forward. And so I think this is totally just strategy. It puts egg on the face of the people in city council. They have no intent of supporting this document, and I think it makes us stronger. But I agree, it is not a strong enough piece of legislation in any way, shape, or form.
All right, anybody else want to be on stack on this topic?
Yeah,
we do have a couple of things. Sorry.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Okay, Ray Lutz. The way I understand it now is that there is no corporate money allowed in any local or state elections. But they still use it by going through one level of money laundering. Okay, it goes through PACs or other things, and they can launder it, and so they still use it. And so what this does is it takes away the direct linkage from some big player, somebody with a lot of money, to give them a bunch of money. Because if you're a candidate and you get a whole bunch of money from a PAC or something else coming into your coffers, then guess what? When they say, I want you to approve my development, you're going to say, I don't remember that $10,000. No, you're going to remember the $10,000. It's proven through psychological research that it is remembered, and those people rule in the favor of the 1% over and over and over again. Now, Is it a really big problem in San Diego? Not as much as it is at the federal or state levels. It's not even close. Because the system here is already tightly controlled as it is. It's only limited to, what, $250 or something maximum?
$350 for council and $500 for mayor.
Okay, so $350 for council and $500 for mayor is the most any one person can put in. So it's not that much. At the state level, it's like, I think, $3,500, maybe more per person. But the problem is, that isn't the problem. Here's how it works. I didn't know this for a while. Let's say you're Coca-Cola. You want to give a whole bunch of money to this one candidate. You can't just give it to him. You give $50,000 to 50 other candidates. They then put that money, they then give that money, $1,000 a piece, to that candidate. So everybody only dealt with $1,000 at a time, and you can look at the list, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000. It's just all the way through, it's only $1,000. All that the 50 other races got $1,000 from the company. They all then recontributed it over to that one candidate, and Coca-Cola still got their one candidate with $50,000 in their pocket. And they know it, they know what's going on. So if it comes from anywhere, that kind of big money, through these little diversionary tactics, it means that the candidates are beholden to the company, to the corporation, or to the big player. Even though here they say there isn't any of this going on, there still is. Okay. So,
this is a great little tutorial. But...
Right. Well, I just wanted people to know that how it works is not to answer to Amir's concerns. Taking the money, it doesn't take the money out. People are still making money on politics, but it isn't linked to the giver, so it isn't a direct bribe. Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think this is something, because other cities have implemented this type of thing in the country, I can't really talk any louder, because other cities have already implemented this type of thing and it is a step in the right direction, it forces the city council to address it. And once they're addressing it in the rules committee, we can always go and tell them we want to even go beyond this, you know, but it gives us an in to be able to even raise this question, have it talked about in the media, do some education on it, so I'm totally for it. Thanks, Martha. Ray, can you give this back to me?
Anybody who wants to get on stack for this, gonna keep it open for like the next 30 seconds.
Next.
Go ahead and give your name to Tito so that we can get this wrapped up.
The way I understand this, it's very much like Masada said, it's a probe. It's basically it's an addressment. It makes us, if we agree with something like this to get a lot of money out of the system, like Ray mentioned, it's basically a probe. It makes them have to answer, oh, well, this is what we want, and then they say no, or they say yes, but they might say no, and then when they say no, then we can come back and say, well, why not? Then that forces them to make an answer that allows us to then keep on going after that. It is a strategy, is a probe, is a political probe, and I don't disagree with it. I think that it highlights a problem. It calls attention to it, and then everything else falls in after that. Does anybody have anything to say after that? That was Matthew Gates.
Okay, this is Uma.
This is Uma. She's very quiet.
I'm going to speak louder. Okay, I have 2 points about this. One is I came in a little late, but it sounds like something I agree with for the same reason this lady said. It's about a strategy. But I understand also that one of the ways that money gets into politics is not through direct, even as indirect as you were describing, but just a PAC puts out an ad. You know, that says all sorts of crappy things about a candidate, and the candidate could say, I didn't do that. You know, that wasn't me. I really like to stop it, but I can't. These are independent people, and that's one of the things that Citizens United brought us. And the other is to address Amir's problem is that I don't understand how you can get money out of politics. To run a political campaign costs a certain amount of money. For someone not to work for however long it takes them to get elected, they're not just going to rise up and say, here I am, everybody elect me. It takes money. So there's going to be money, I think, in campaigning. But, you know, whose money is it and what does it buy? So I think that's what we should be working toward. Our money buying what we want, supporting what we want, not buying it, supporting it. You know, I'm willing to give money to certain candidates. I love them. Alan Grayson has my money. You know, he's speaking the truth, you know. There are a certain number of candidates, Dennis Kucinich, a few others, that have my money. And I know they're going to use my money well. And I'm, you know, and if someone else doesn't have money, I'm sorry. You know, I still think they will be represented by these certain people, not everybody. I mean, what? You want them, and what, you want the candidate to be broke? I'm sorry, this may be not the right place, but we should have that discussion. I would like to have that discussion sometime.
Okay, thank you. To your left, to Ben. And then, unless there's anybody else, we'll wrap up discussion on this topic. Mm. One more?
Yeah.
I'm in favor, very much in favor of getting money out of politics. But why not go with a bolder and more uncompromising move? Like, why not propose to the city council that they make every issue that they discuss, every agenda item, has to go to public vote? I mean, to get money out of politics, you can make, like, the political parties irrelevant. You can make the council members irrelevant. That's another way of doing it.
She's the last one.
Just to address your concern about we need the money to fund the whatever, what you do is you tell the radio stations, TV stations, as a part of their incorporation or whatever, that they are required to provide free airtime for so much free airtime for candidates, each and every candidate. And we have public forums, and that is where the things that are free to them. We don't need all this money coming in from corporations or anywhere else, but that's,
you know. I'm going to suggest right now that everybody who still has strong feelings about additional things that we can do, because I think a lot of the concerns that were brought up were additional things that we could do and not necessarily things that needed to be done in it, like, as opposed to this proposal. I encourage everyone with additional ideas on how to get money out of politics in a more complete fashion, go to the Get Money Out working group. You know, throw your thoughts in there, because the more ideas we have on how we can get money out of politics, the more we're going to move as a movement. So that working group is meeting next.
We meet on Thursday evening.
Thursday evenings.
It has been in Point Loma.
It's been in Point Loma. So if you are interested in getting together with that working group, see Martha, because we, all of these additional ideas definitely could use a little follow through. Yeah, absolutely. Can we do a temperature check just on calling this to a vote right now? If we call this to consensus right now, is there anyone who would be opposed to that, still has a lot of concerns that you feel still need to be addressed? Okay, we've definitely got a few. Would tabling it for a couple of days so that everybody has time to process the initiative, you know, say, would 24 hours be enough time so this can come up to, again at GA tomorrow? Would everybody have time to read through it? Oh, okay, let's go with Tuesday. Yeah, let's go with Tuesdays, GA. Let's table it to Tuesdays and everybody gets back from the Rose Bowl. That work for you? You're okay with that? That still gives you time?
I'm cool with that.
Because that's... Okay, so that's still in time to get it in. So let's table that until Tuesday. Then there's the second proposal.
Second proposal.
Which we have a more concrete version of on site, so hopefully this one goes through a little easier.
The second...
Here, hold this for.
The second ballot proposal, and this will be for the June ballot. We're going to... We're proposing that we submit this by June 6th, 10 a.m. June 6th, to the city clerk. And let me just read it, basically.
You mean January 6th?
Yes.
January, I'm sorry.
January 6th, and that will require the City Council to consider it for the June ballot. I'm just going to read this statement. I'm not going to read, like, the full thing of it, but I want everybody to hear what we're doing. I have been consulting several OSD organizers, including Tara Ludwig, Melissa Barron, Tammy Martin, Josephine Perulli, Ray Lutz, Ben Katz, and others, over the past 2 weeks to develop a ballot proposal to revise Municipal Code 54.0110, the encroachment code, and submit it to the city clerk by January 6th. And this is consistent with the San Diego City Council Policy 000-21. It's a simple, elegant addition to the encroachment code, which is titled Unauthorized Encroachment Prohibited. I'm going to read that section as it now is. This is what most people get arrested or cited for setting something down on the
This
plaza.
Is the thing that says that this is illegal.
Exactly. So here's what that code says now. It is unlawful for any person to erect, place, allow to remain, construct, establish, plan, or maintain any vegetation or object on any public street, alley, sidewalk, highway, or other property or public right-of-way, except as otherwise provided by this code. Some people know it by heart. So this was added in October of 2007, and it was effective the following month. Now, the basis of the revision that we're proposing to this code is on another code which governs the private part of the plaza, which is behind us, about 10 feet around the office tower. And that is Muni Code 52.80.01, trespasses upon privately operated business premises. There is an exception specified in that code for peaceful picketing, lawful labor activities, and peaceful political activities. So we're proposing the recommended ballot proposal, which would be submitted by Occupy San Diego with the city clerk by 10 a.m. on January 6th for consideration on the June ballot. It will copy section 52.80.01C and subsection 2 thereof, and revise it as follows to insert into the encroachment code. And I'm going to read it. So section A of the Muni Code, section 54.110, would now say, exceptions. The provisions of this section shall not apply where their application would result in interference with or inhibition of peaceful picketing, lawful labor activities, or peaceful political activities. In submitting this ballot proposal, we would note that this would bring the public right-of-way under the same requirements as, quote, privately operated business premises in the trespass code. And this should also reduce city costs to enforce section 54.110, since police will not be redirected to enforce its provisions for peaceful picketing, lawful labor activities, or peaceful political activities.
All right. Question and concern stack first. If you have a direct question or concern relating to what you just heard, let's go ahead and get those addressed first off. I'm going to go with Ben.
I just wonder, why not just repeal the law instead of changing it?
Maybe one part of it.
Because the law does apply to actually valid issues.
Yeah.
Like dumpsters on the right-of-way and a lot of other stuff.
John.
Quick point of information, there's also the lawsuit we all know about already, which is the
they're trying to expand out. We have had a lot of talk with the lawyers. If you have any information about the arbitrary
I'm sorry to break you off, please get in touch with me. I'm going to moderate this GA, John, and this is not a direct question or concern about this proposal, so it can go in its correct time. Thank you. Amy.
Get information over, please.
My concern is that, you know, with the revision or the proposed, you know, new version of it, with the exemption of peaceful protest, if they believe it's peaceful, so, you know, if they what they've been able to get us on from the beginning.
I guess my answer to that would be that we're mirroring a section that's already in the law, that's established law. The other thing I would say is as far as I know, Occupy San Diego has consensus from the very beginning that we're always going to be peaceful.
I'm not disagreeing that may be the case. However, we are not the people that interpret and use our discretion to enforce the law. Their perception is what they use in order to enforce the law. So we can sit here and sing kumbaya, but if they feel that we're not peaceful, we're still in violation of that municipal code. It's just a concern.
Yes. I mean, right now, we're subject to a whole lot wider interpretation.
Again, I'm not disagreeing. However, it's a concern.
I think part of this ballot initiative, as with the other one, is more of a strategy step.
Can I also do...
We've got three people on stack right now. You're up first.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's again, it's just a tactic. We take their own language and we turn it back on them. Of course, they're going to interpret whatever they want.
But right now, they are saying they have a different... code that they're using to enforce on us, and if we can say you have to enforce the same code that you say you're enforcing here as opposed to this sidewalk versus that sidewalk, then we at least have a tactic. It's a tool that we can use. Our lawyers can win some victories with it. Of course, they're going to decide however they want to implement anything. But again, it's just a tactic and a tool. And we're outsmarting them. Let's outsmart them.
It's not that hard. They're not that smart.
Yeah. She had one more thing that she forgot to include real quick, and then we'll get back to the stack.
Can I directly respond to that?
Let her include this extra information, and then we'll...
One of the people that I could... Sorry to keep moving over, but the sun keeps glaring in my eyes. One of the people that I consulted with specifically was Rachel Scoma, who most people know. She's part of the legal team that's pursuing the federal injunction on this very code, on 54.110. And I'm going to read her verbatim reply to me. Quote, "I love the idea and the language looks good to me. I will say that trying to qualify an amendment to the municipal code will not hurt our federal case. I think it will only help. Indeed, I think it is very strategic to have a multi-tiered approach to winning this important free speech fight. I think we should declare January 2012 Free Speech Month in San Diego. This would be a great way to streamline the direct action you were talking about with other events already occurring in San Diego." And she's agreed to be our spokesperson at the press conference when we file this with the City Council.
Okay. Great.
Okay, Ray Lutz. I like this comment. I'm sorry, what's your name? Amy. That Amy made. And I think that maybe we should enumerate some things that are peaceful political activities that should be included, such as voter registration tables. Okay. such as teach-ins, such as having a peaceful gathering, an assembly of people, such as chairs for people to be able to, all these really reasonable things that right now, and also being able to set bags down, personal items, put down all those things that they have hit us on, the ridiculous things, putting a flag that we should be able to fly the American flag. I think it would be to our advantage, don't you, to enumerate all those things as a first step and then make them have to say, no, we don't want the American flag. No, we don't want registration tables.
We can certainly, as somebody who wrote regulations for my living for 10 years, we can certainly say such as, but not limited to, and include a list. So I'm open to that.
That's a good amendment.
Next person on stack.
Thank you, Amy.
John.
Which John? What I was addressing before, we are also building the case, what you just brought up about Rachel Scoma. So if you have any information about arbitrary or overbroad interpretation or application of the law by these guys, please get it off to at least me or someone else, occupysd.jbk@gmail. So the place, .jbk, my initials, and we're trying to collect as much evidence as we can of arbitrary and overbroad application of this law and targeting of us. If you even have, for example, the video evidence about the Tea Party, where they were able to do the exact same things that we're not allowed to do, get that over as well. Thanks.
This section 540110 is essentially, when we looked it up, was designated for specific structure, basketball the structure and the skateboard ramps. So they're taking liberty applying that to the assembly of the people for political purposes. And we had people coming, being told that they need to move out under section, and they were cited under sections that specifically exempt free speech activity, which including teachings and all that. So this problem is not, I'm not blocking this, but the problem is not that they don't understand, there's a misunderstanding between us and the city authority. The problem is not that there's a misunderstanding between us and them, it's a problem, they understand us very well, and that's why they're trying to come after us and basically try to hit us with everything they got. It's just that I don't see the energy being spent on this as being spent in something that is going to result in something that is going to be beneficial for us. That's what my reservation.
It's a waste of time.
Sure.
Live stream. It's being clipped on a live stream, guys, so we can be on stack. That's fantastic.
All right, well, one of my concerns is also, you know, maybe it may end up as an addition, is the homeless runner. Like, I see the cops trying to parse a lot on homeless versus protester. You know, they're saying homeless versus other. And I've seen, like, harass and cite a lot of homeless people around here. So I'm kind of wondering if maybe we should consider language for that, too, in the exceptions. Just to keep the police off the homeless people. Or try to
occupy San Diego.
Or declare us as homeless and treat us a different manner.
Okay. I'm going to take my moderator hat off. Right now I am actually on second, and we've got the YouTube level ladies.
I think the point of this is not a be-all, end-all solution, but it is a first step that we can take to start the conversation with them. Where, you know, we're holding private businesses accountable for letting people demonstrate, but public property is all of a sudden you need a special zone or there's no free speech. You can do it by that tree, but not over here. It's ridiculous. And we need to broach that topic on an official scale. So it's just kind of a start. It's definitely not a finish.
I also want to extract.
Hey. The people who were arrested, as the police were coming 2 nights ago, when the people who were arrested, when the police came, they were being mic checked, and people were reading the exact the exact regs, and the police were just completely ignoring it and just took the people off anyway. So that it's like words that don't move, words that have no meaning.
The existing regulations have no restrictions for protests.
Right.
The way that we're...
They're on the public spot.
You're up.
It seems to me that any of these things that we can do to bring attention to whatever is happening, even though I agree with you, it's exactly what's happening, the attention we can bring to it is important. It's publicity. It gets it out there. It shows that what they're doing is nothing but harassment. And I think we need to take these moves and bring it to their attention, bring it to everybody else's attention, hopefully the newspaper, TV, and whatever else.
This is Matthew Gates. I think that the comment that was made before that it will broach an issue is important. That's exactly what it is. Is like the last thing. It's a probe. It forces them to answer something, and then when we get that answer, then we can go, oh, well, you know, that doesn't make sense, or oh, well, that makes sense. And then that allows us to come together and attack that answer if we don't agree with it. That's all it is. It just allows us to attack something or make them answer or highlight a problem that we don't agree with. That's my take on it.
All right. Amy's next up, Zach, and then Chief, I believe, is the last one. Callie?
I don't want that. I think that by going forward with the municipal code that is somehow going to get us a get out of jail free card from the police, I think that we're overlooking that they're going to arrest us even if the law is bullshit.
Yeah.
They're going to arrest us and the charges won't hold in court. You're still going to get arrested regardless of what municipal code is in place. So I'm not, I don't, you know, understand. I see it as kind of a waste of time because we're still getting arrested.
I just wanted to say that I agree with you. I don't think that doing this is going to prevent arrests, but I don't think that that means that we shouldn't do it. I think we should definitely move forward with it. I think that they're going to use, I mean, even if they don't use 54.0110 to arrest us, they're going to use other municipal codes, they're going to use other penal codes. That's fine. I mean, we're not going anywhere, right? So all we have is time. So as they keep coming up with other codes, we can keep adding stuff in, and who knows what's going to happen in the future with the whole municipal code book in general. But I think it's important that we take these steps. I mean, just like we filed the TRO in court and we lost, it still brought attention to people. People know about that code now. Didn't even know that it existed before. So, again, I just think it's really important that we do this.
All right, you're the last one, and then we'll...
Actually, she mentioned what I wanted. It's worth doing it regardless of what it is. Just as long as it specifies exactly what the political activities are.
The problem is that we have a great law, well, amendment to law, that is being overlooked. It's called the First Amendment. And basically they're saying that what we're doing over here doesn't apply, does not qualify as political speech. So they are the one that putting themselves in the place to judge. On the issue of trying to catch a politician and force them to make a decision, I never seen that happen because they're so distant from people. People hardly can put a question and force the politician to answer yes or no on it. They can, number one, not answer it, or they can, like, politicians over here can help me out over here. They can rephrase the question and answer it the way they want it. And basically, you're not going to basically force any of these politicians individually come out and say they're going to support or oppose this. This is their trade, to avoid specific questions and try to leave stuff vague so they can direct the public opinion. I mean, as I said before, I'm not going to block it. It's just, I think, I agree with Amy, it's a waste of time.
It's not a dichotomy. It's not do this or give up.
It's about which path we're going to go. This path of reformism that we're going to go, if we're going to do that, it's basically we're begging these people that have screwed people over, us us being here, to reconsider their behavior and be nice to us. And I don't think that's the problem. That's necessarily an issue. And another thing is, like, for example, the stuff that you put up as being should be exempt, it doesn't cover everything that is problem. Like, somebody brought it up, homelessness is a crime. Like, we should include homelessness, peaceful labor activity, peaceful political activity, and homelessness. You know, how about that? You can't criminalize people who have no other place to go, and they are criminalized. So, like, in your statement, it comes from very, it's not very all-inclusive class view. It doesn't include the people who are underclass of the society.
so the underclass can engage in political activity as well.
Are we doing it together, or are we just going to let them say, oh, yeah, they can do it on
their own? We'll give them signs, we'll give them leaflets, we'll bring them into the movement.
Yeah.
That's
all right.
Very...
We have 2 points of clarification right now. John has one, and then Chris has one.
Yeah, just exactly what you said. Rachel Skomer herself knows that as well. It's not just about this, but there's multi-tasks we can do. Also, there is a famous case here, Lawson versus Cullender, who was our former sheriff here. It went to the Supreme Court as a pro se. It took 5 years. All right, so if we can get them to change the municipal law here without going to the Supreme Court, it's over. And there's multiple tasks and multiple ways you can go at it. I do hear what you're saying, but there's multiple tasks, and we should do this one while it's here.
All right, Chris.
In order to make it go further along the political scope, we have to start, it's just a chain of command. You have to start here. If they don't help you, then you go to your congressional representatives and try to get the federal congressional representatives who have helped many people, actually, local places. I mean, to help change laws, you can get other people, but you have to go through a chain of command. I think we should be doing it completely.
I just have a question. Do you mean we should go to the Congress to change the municipal code?
No, we should go to them and try to change the municipal code. When they say no, then you go to your Congress and saying, hey, our rights are being violated by the Constitution, which is what they're there for. They're there to represent you, to stand up for your rights as a Constitution. But if you have to ask the city first to change it because of the violation for your law, and when they say no, then the congressional members can get involved.
All right. We close stack, I know.
Well,
can I just say something real quick?
Sure.
Yeah,
I found the opposite. There's usually a lot of people inside the government who are on, like when I've done stuff, that are on my side and are very happy and have told me, thank you for coming forward and doing this, because we can't blow the whistle ourselves because we'll lose our job, blah, blah, blah. And we, the citizens, have to do our job. And if we see something that's wrong, we have to go in and say, that's wrong, change it. And if we're not doing our job, then, you know, then we're not going to get anywhere. And it might bubble up to the Supreme Court. If they want to fight it, it bubbles up. But you got to start it. That's my point.
So the proposal is that we use the exception taken from the trespass upon privately owned business code and add that to the encroachment code so that it will read, it is unlawful for any person to erect, place, allow to remain, construct, establish, plan, or maintain any vegetation or object on any public street, alley, sidewalk, highway, or other property or public right-of-way, except as otherwise provided by this code. Exceptions. The provisions of this section shall not apply where their application would result in an interference with or inhibition of peaceful picketing, lawful labor activities, or peaceful political activities.
And we will add, including but not limited to, you know, we'll
a few
voter registration
examples.
Tables, you know,
the American flag.
Putting down things, homelessness.
Right.
Yeah, so there will be including but not limited
to. I'll be happy to take suggestions from people.
Can we call this to consensus that this can be an OSD endorsed ballot proposal? All in favor?
Yay.
All abstentions? Hanging on the fence? Any opposition? Okay, opposition goes this way, but thanks, people. All right, any hard blocks? Okay, so we have consensus. Congratulations, OSD. You've entered politics.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Stay tuned. We're going to want, you know, support to come out at various points. We're going to do a press conference. It'll be probably a small press conference just to get the press come out and take note of this.
Yes.
But then the Rules Committee hearing will be January 11th. So we'll get word out about that, but we'll want a big turnout for that.
And then remember, Tuesday, we're bringing back up the Clean Elections Initiative.
Right.
So everybody make GA on Tuesday. And Thursday night, the women's group will meet on the Clean Election.
Get Money Out.
The Get Money Out working group.
And if you're interested, let me know.
Yeah, get with Martha on that for Thursday. I don't think there were any other proposals, so yeah, we are moving on to announcements. Everybody have the new NLG number? We should probably do this at the beginning of any action.
Stay big.
The new NLG number.
Don't use that other number.
You do not use the old number. Everybody change the number. Got your pens? Got your paper? Everybody ready?
Write it in permanent ink on your arm.
If you are in Freedom Plaza, put it on your arm, because you may get arrested, go around a corner somewhere, and not have anyone know, and you need someone to call from jail. The number is 619-500-4486. Again, that's 619-500-4486. If you're down here, you probably should have that number on you, literally, just in case. I think that's the only real one of those. So if you need an individual announcement, see Tito to get on individual announcement stacks. We'll run this for a minute.
Okay, on January 24th.
January 24th.
Okay, is the Citizens Review Board of Police Practices meeting. Okay. It's meeting in Point Loma Library. If you have any complaints about what the police have been doing, I think some of us have at least
a few
complaints. Maybe we haven't written them down yet. We really need to get our act together and list everybody who's been improperly arrested, detained, everything else, when it was, and so forth. So I'm setting up a special website database thingy that will let people enter the information.
Nice.
But if we can just have that sent by email or whatever to osd-feedback@citizensoversight.org, I'll put it in the email blast. It's a normal email blast number. And then we'll have people enter that and hopefully have all of our complaints submitted before that. But we also need to plan to go to the Point Loma Library on January 24th because there's open public comment. And
January 24th!
Nobody usually goes to these.
The Review Board for Law Enforcement will be meeting at the Point Loma Library.
What time?
There is a public comment section.
7 o'clock.
Please come.
7 p.m.?
7 p.m., I believe. So, it'll be in the email blast, but it's on their website. So, this is
what's the website?
It's a Citizens. I'll put Citizens Review Board of Police Activities. I'll give it in the email blast, or if anyone's not on the email blast, tell me. I'll put you on it. It's already on the calendar. Okay, the calendar is at. In the email blast, there's a calendar for everything that's happening. So look at that month at a time calendar and see what's happening. But this is a real opportunity. So in other words, let me summarize. Get all the information about who's been arrested, when, where, what, all the detainments and everything else and all the ridiculous things, including all the videos that went with it and documentation showing that these police are out of line. And that's what we need to go forward and submit to them before their meeting. And I think we should probably, I don't know what the submission rules are, but we need to look into that and find out what the submission rules are and then submit our complaints. I know you can submit the complaints, but we need to get it into the meeting ahead of time so that they're talking about and it's on their agenda what we're talking about so that we can go in there in the open portion of their meeting and have public comment and also discuss what's been going on.
Other individual announcements.
Let me see one more thing here.
Wait, I got more.
You are also, as part of this database, will be a complete police ID database. So we want to start IDing the police. Kevin Rambo did a really good job in the last video where he went up to each police officer and got his name and spelled it out on the video so we could tell who they were. I'm going to put in a request to the police department to tell us which police officers have been working this area over the last 3 months and see if they'll just tell us. I mean, that's the first step. But if you if you can help do that, help take pictures of police, get their mugshots, and get their IDs so that we can be working on being able to identify those police that are doing the dirty work and then making our complaints correctly. Thank you. That's enough.
Go ahead.
now.
Nori.
Nori, individual announcement.
Okay, so I want to ask something of Ray on that one. Point of clarification, the photograph that you showed today, was that Dupree that was there beating somebody up on today's photograph? On the ones that you did last, that, you know, that are on today's cops? Was that Dupree, the person who kicked Kevin?
Was it Dupree, the one that they were beating up? Are you talking about when they arrested these people here?
The photograph that you had the big black guy was the one who was in the middle. And everyone always said that Dupree, the one who kicked everybody, the reason there was blood on the Civic Center, Dupree was the kicker.
Offline.
Yeah, let's pull that one offline and work on that. John, you had an individual announcement?
Yeah, just a really quickie that you can get in touch with Internal Affairs directly, or you can get in touch with them right over here, the Citizens Review Board. You don't need to have a name and a number, especially if you have a picture. It's up to them. As if you file here, the Internal Affairs has to respond to that and has to find the guy. The other thing that we clearly want to know is what people got arrested for. And we don't have all that because it's erased unless we have the specific names. We have to look them up all one by one. So not only when you got arrested, who arrested you, but what you got arrested for. We know there's a lot of illegal lodging ones, but then they switched out on that when they realized they're going to lose that. So.
All right. Any other individual announcements?
I just wanted to also make a point on Ray's announcement, which was that if we're going to start IDing the cops, I want everybody to think about IDing good and bad cops, because not all of them are bad, and I would really hate to see like somebody falsely from us be accused of being a bad cop who maybe isn't. So let's just make sure we're vigilant about what we do with that, and not just be wishy-washy with it.
Facilitation has meetings today at 5:30 and Monday at 5:30 to work out the details of the curriculum for facilitation training. If you're interested in that at all, go to those meetings. We're going to hash all that out hopefully by the end of the meeting on Monday.
What's the meeting about? Facilitation training?
Yeah, training moderators.
Oh, okay, good.
We can sense that training was mandatory before you could moderate GA, and then we haven't consensus on what that training is going to be, so we're going to fix that. Announcement behind.
Okay, this is just real quick. For those of you who weren't here last night, we had talked to a person about helping occupy his mother's house. That kind of went downhill. There was some drama. He rescinded his request. So we won't be occupying a home in Point Loma. Just so you guys know, I know we were going to put it on Facebook, but then there was miscommunication. So we're not going to be doing that for that lady.
There was family hostility and issues with the estate and random stuff that is way, way more shit than we need to be involved in.
This is the guy with his mother.
Yeah,
there's like a family feud and a lot of stuff over it, so it's really not
our business.
Not our business. Yeah, like his sister's trying to sell the place while his mom's in the nursing home and he doesn't want her to, so he wants us to occupy it from his sister effectively, which is just not the business that we're in.
Exactly.
Was there a...
Can I make a quick announcement?
Sure.
As opposed to that sort of situation...
Is someone else? Citation over to Ray?
No, go ahead.
Yeah. As opposed to that type of situation, what we are trying to do is get people who are in foreclosure, especially if they've lost their job or if they have a health issue and the bank's refusing to remodify. That one's not a bad thing, but I don't know if we want to throw all of our resources behind this guy who said himself that he's been accused of fraud and plagiarism and stuff like that. So it's like, geez, that's
that
a big legal tangle.
We occupy your corner. Little group is now working on another project called Homes Already Occupied. If that's something that you're really interested in, it would probably behoove you to go to their meetings and see what they're working on there, because those little active shifts are getting stuff done. Any other individual announcements? There is supposed to be a potluck tonight. I've heard such...
There's going
to
be food and whatnot.
I've heard stories. I've seen supplies trickling in, so there should be a potluck tonight for New Year's. Anita, would you happen to know what time the potluck's supposed to start? Do you know what time it's supposed to start? I don't know.
8 o'clock is what it said online.
Yeah, I was going to say Facebook posted something.
Facebook said 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock. It's on Facebook. It must be true.
Facebook says 8 o'clock. The ground has
no Facebook,
idea.
It must be true. It's not official.
7 o'clock to midnight? Right. Okay, clarification. 7 o'clock to midnight for New Year's Eve festivities and potluck. Any other individual announcements?
Yeah, I volunteered to compile a list of people who might need reading glasses to read. Sometimes it's difficult for some people to acquire these glasses. And if you give me your name, I'll try to, within a week or a week and a half, have some reading glasses for you. If you know anybody in the Occupy movement that needs them, please tell them to see me.
All right, for anyone in the back who couldn't hear, Cisco has volunteered. If you need reading glasses, see him, let him know how strong you need them, and he will try to facilitate getting you a pair of reading glasses, like, within the week.
So one more.
One more.
Any medical issues, any medical conditions, go on to the Facebook page, Occupy Wellness Group, or Occupy San Diego Wellness Group, and put there. You could even hit up an actual email, like a private messenger of one of the admins, if you don't want it all out there. But please actually take part in this process. Otherwise, medical's going to have no clue what's going on. We're not going to be able to help anybody out with their needs. This is the only way to really do it. Otherwise, hit somebody up who's got this flag and tell them your needs or your medical condition. Like, we'll keep it private, completely confidential. Most of us are actual prior medics, where we have practice with that. So anybody, please feel free to see us. He's also in medical.
Like, for example, if you're diabetic, it would be handy for the wellness team to know that.
Or hypoglycemic, or if you have any blood-borne diseases or anything that can transfer to us,
just
it'd be really nice if you let us know.
Be proactive with your wellness care. Anything else? No, we need a moderator for tomorrow's GA, or a motion not to have GA tomorrow.
I'm
Tito's volunteering to moderate for tomorrow's GA.
I'll second.
There's a second. Any objections? Any objections? Nobody objects? All right. Tito will moderate tomorrow's GA at 7 o'clock.
Yay.
And that's the end of GA. You're all awesome.
All right, cool. Good job.
Actually,
I like to be the elder.